Well, I'm thinking about digging a ditch. Have you ever heard a sermon start like that? No? Sometimes sermons end up in the ditch, but that's another conversation. I'm thinking about digging a ditch, and I got to figure out what I'm going to wear. And I don't think what I'm wearing now would be the best thing. Y'all agree? I mean, it would kind of be not good to get this old jacket messed up. I think I figured out this jacket's older than Sarah. It may be older than my wife. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's old. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, let's take that back. Let's start over. All right. It's old. All right. But what are you going to put on if you're going to dig a ditch? You're not going to wear a jacket, right? Well, you might wear a jacket, but not a sport coat. You're not going to wear dress pants. You're going to get old clothes. I keep a stack of old clothes. Just stuff that I don't care if it gets paint on it or mud or muck or junk or mess. I don't care because I'll probably take it and not even wash it when I'm done. I'm going to just drop it in the trash can and go, it's gone. It's over. So we're going to dig a ditch. Let's get dressed. You want to get dressed? To dig a ditch, you're going to put on some boots, hopefully. You got a good pair of work boots. You're going to put on some old jeans. You're going to get some good gloves, especially for those of us who work in offices like I do, typically, with soft, pretty hands. You don't want to get them messed up, you know. So you put your gloves on. I mean, it is what it is, you know. Well, today I want to talk to you about getting dressed. Getting dressed for Thanksgiving and a thankful attitude and a thankful life. And we're going to go to a passage in Colossians. This isn't part of a series today. It's only a couple this year we did this way. But we're going to look at a passage in Colossians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul talks about getting dressed. He talks about getting dressed in certain kinds of clothes. And he uses a word in the Greek that really specifically talks about getting dressed in a particular type of clothes. And he says, put on, and that's the word. He's going to say, put it on, put on those clothes, because if you're going to be this person, this is what you need to look like. This is what your life needs to reflect. And so I want you to see three things this morning where Paul calls the church at Colossae to put on a certain set of clothes, put on a way of looking and acting and being that is indicative of one who is following the Lord Jesus Christ. So look with me at the passage, Colossians 3:12, where it says this, put on then, there's our phrase, put on, get dressed, get ready, get all accoutrified to go do, that's a new word for y'all, by the way, just made it up, get dressed to go and do the things that we're going to do. So he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the first aspect that he calls the people at Colossae, and I think he's going to call us as well, to put on, is to put on a reflection. Now you're going, I don't know how you put on a reflection. I can put on a shirt, I can put on boots, but I can't put on a reflection. Well, in a sense, the idea he wants us to see here is to be people who reflect Christ. What are you going to look like? Hopefully you're going to look like Jesus. By definition, a reflection is never you. It's always something else. It's not really you. You look in a mirror, what do you see? You see a reflection of you. It's not really you. You're not inside the mirror looking back. There's not two of you going, hi. It's a reflection. So just as you would never mistake that mirror for yourself, so in Christ, we're to be a reflection of the one who brought us a new life. Now notice the aspects of reflection we see. It's a long list. We could spend the rest of the morning just in these three verses. We won't. But I want you to see each one of these. He says, I want you to reflect a heart that is a heart of compassion. I like that. He says, I want you to be one who reflects compassion, a person who realizes the frailty of people, the tendency that we have towards sin, the evidence in our lives that so often we don't reflect Christ. He says, I want you to instead choose to do that. And he goes further. He says, I want you to be a person who sees the problems. Don't just see them. Do something about it. There's a call here to kindness. Did you see that? which is basically taking the right path instead of the wrong path, being a person who stands for the right and then stands against the wrong and does it in a way that's redemptive. He calls then for a call of meekness. I told you we're going to kind of look at the list quickly. Just as Jesus said, I'll be meek and suffer as a servant and be crucified for those who would give their heart to me. Next, he says, I want you to be reflecting patience. Instead of saying, this is my way, this is the way it's going to have to happen. And it's people that say, we're going to work together. And then he speaks about handling complaints. He says, do this, forgive. Forgive. But notice the direction of the forgiveness. It's from the offended to the offender, not the other way around. Then he calls them to do what? To love. There's a lot of stuff here. We could spend hours just looking at these things. But each one of these aspects, listen, are never to be centered on the person. Rather, they are to be a reflection of Christ in us, in them. That's this idea. That's the big concept here he wants them to get. What Paul wanted them to understand is each one of those aspects are things that they're not going to do on their own without the Holy Spirit's presence. Those are things that humanity generally doesn't do all that well without Jesus filling their heart. And he says, with Christ in the center of your life, I want you to be one who reflects Jesus. Now, what's interesting about the church at Colossae, there doesn't seem to be a lot of major issues going on in the church. And it's made up of believers, though, and he's made up of humans. And if they ever chose to cease reflecting Christ, there would be a problem in the church. So his call for them is to do this, reflect Christ. Reflect Jesus. Let people see in you Jesus. But listen, isn't that the call of God anyway? Isn't that his call for our lives? This call has always been to surrender to the direction of Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. I want you to reflect me. And what he wants them to understand is regardless of what comes their way, people needed to see Jesus in them. See, the way for Christ to be first was not to say, here's my image, here's my vision of who I want to be, but instead say, God, I want to reflect you. Now you're probably going, where are we going with this? We've talked about digging a ditch, and now we're talking about a mirror and a reflection. Here's what I want you to catch. I want you to be people who reflect Christ in everything you do. What I want you to see first this morning is an encouragement that Christ is first. You know, we enter into the holiday season. I don't know about you, but sometimes the holidays can be a little stressful. Am I the only one? No? You love them. Good. Good for you. I sometimes get stressed this time of year because there's always so many things to do, and you get to be around family that sometimes you kind of wonder, do you want to be around family? I'm only talking about my family. I'm not talking about my wife's family. I'm already in deep with her at this point, okay? I got that. This time of year can be tough. Do you know that suicides tend to spike during the holidays? That's an extreme way to get out of dealing with family. But this is the kind of stuff that we deal with this time of year. So we enter this time of year. I want you to think about this. As we go into this coming week and the next month or so, especially as we deal with life and family and all the activities and all the things we go to and all the places we have to go and all the things we have to do and all the decisions we have to make and the things that we have to go by. And in the middle of all this, to say, I want to be a person who reflects Jesus. I want to reflect him, and I want to be thankful for him, and I want to be grateful for what he's doing in my life. When you stop to consider the amazing offer that God has made to you and to me of eternal life, you know what really ought to well up in our souls? God, thank you. He gives us the ability to deal with these things in life. And what I want you to see beyond this simple moment of conversion is this ongoing transformation he wants to work in your life and in my life. You know, somebody has called this the tension of the Christian life between what we were and what he wants us to be. And that's really where we live. And I want you to be thankful for that eternal life that you have and be thankful for the salvation that you have and be thankful that God is working in you and be a person who reflects Christ through that. As you enter into the next 6 weeks, especially, who is going to be revealed in you? Who's going to be seen in your life? What will be the determining factor be as to how you respond to the stress of the holidays? Will you try to handle it on your own? Or will you say, I want to reflect Jesus in everything I do? A few of these things that he calls us to be are hearts of compassion, where we say, I'm going to impact people. Another is to bear with one another. Man, I know how that works. We have to bear with each other. I mean, and even when that annoying relative shows up in your life, you just kind of go, yeah, love you anyway. Maybe another area centers on how we deal with being offended. You know, we get offended in these times. Don't be the one that carries that as you go through it. So I want to encourage you first to be reflective of Christ. The second thing he gives in verse 15 is really kind of the focal point of this little subsection of Scripture. Look at it with me. Verse 15, and let the what? The peace. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I want you to see that not only do we need to reflect Christ, but the second piece of clothing that he kind of talks about here of putting on as he works through this is to be a person not only puts on a reflection, but puts on a rule. And you're going, rule? I don't like rules. Well, I don't think about it like rules in the sense of a list of rules. He's talking about the relationship that we have. Well, Christ calls us to that. So while Paul has already addressed the idea of reflecting, now he talks about the idea of rulership. We don't talk about that a lot. This goes beyond the thought of reflecting to letting Christ's peace fill you. Let me say this here. I am so thankful for those who follow Christ. We can find this peace, this presence, this joy that we have in Christ is there, but only when we let him lead. It's really the idea. Paul, in telling these people that part of being thankful in Christ is letting Christ's peace fill them. Now, let's define the word peace. Because some people say, well, peace is the absence of all conflict. I don't think that's biblical peace, I'll be honest with you. Over and over again, you find in Scripture, story after story after story, where lives are just really upside down, and things are stressful and difficult, and yet peace is still illustrated as reigning there. And you kind of go, how can that be? I thought peace was no conflict. No, peace is this. It's allowing Christ to work through whatever conflict, whatever struggle, whatever circumstance you face, so that he is glorified. That's peace. See, Paul saw peace as not the absence of conflict, but the presence of Christ, regardless of what came. So what the church at Colossae really needed to understand was this. Even though men like Paul had shared the gospel with them, ultimately the one who had brought them into the kingdom wasn't Paul, but instead was Christ himself working in them. And so they've been called out of both pagan backgrounds, Jewish backgrounds, and they're coming into a place where they relate to love and the love of Christ and love to one another. And that concept meant this. They were under a kingdom, under a Lord called Jesus. And a direct result of that call was to be this. We're in one body. So here you got a group of people at Colossae, some who came out of pagan backgrounds, some who came out of Jewish backgrounds, but they're now all together in Christ. And the head of their church, and the head of their lives, and the head of their direction in life was none other than Christ himself. And he says, I want to be ruled. We want you to be ruled by Christ. And they had a common call to let him lead. And if they would do that, they would find ability to rejoice through that. So here's what I want you to notice. The direct result of being ruled by Christ is this. We're thankful. We're thankful. What do you mean, thankful? Thankful that Christ is now able to lead us. Thankful that Christ's wisdom is able to be filled in our lives. Thankful that Christ is able to work through us. Thankful that Christ even cared enough to come to us to invite us into his kingdom in the first place. Thankful that he is giving us a purpose in life and a direction in life and a rule under which we follow. See, part of the kingdom of God is the notion of listening to the ruler who's greater than us. And this idea of peaceful rule of Christ is one that they needed to grasp if they were going to be the people God wanted them to be. Because here's what would happen. If they continue to run off in tangents and directions and areas where God didn't really want them to be, the end result was going to be a mess. So here's what I want you to see. And this is the challenge for the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. for us, for me, is to be a person who is always considering God's leading. And let me put it this way. You go to the Lord on a regular basis and say, okay, what's next? What's next? Can I tell you something? Many of us don't live our lives with an anticipation that says, God, I want what you want next. We don't. Most of us live our lives this way. Well, here's what I want to do. Here's what I plan to do. Here's my thought for tomorrow. Here's my direction for here. Here's what I have in my mind to do for me and for mine. This is where I, and there's a lot of I in there. But if we're going to find God's peace in our hearts and in our lives, and when we have to deal with family and struggle with through the season and through those areas that are maybe difficult for you, instead of going, here's what I think, the challenge is to say, God, what do you want? I want to challenge you with this idea, because this really is at the heart of the message. And in fact, it's at the heart of the Christian experience. And we could take and deal with this for a while. It's the idea that Christ is supposed to be in the very center of everything we do. Here again, we stand on the precipice of a holiday season. And indeed, we start this season with a day we say we're going to be thankful. We're going to stop and we're going to be thankful to God and to family. And you say, but I want him to lead. But some of you say, well, I don't think he is. Well, why is that? I'm convinced that many of us don't stop and do any kind of evaluation very often. One man said this, the unexamined life is not worth living. It's one of my favorite quotes. You've already heard me say it before. Because if we don't stop and evaluate and in condition and can think about where we're going and the condition we're headed into, we will end up in places we never anticipated. And so my hope for you is this. You stop and say, okay, here we are at Thanksgiving week. What am I really thankful for? Who am I really thankful for? Who is really the one leading my life? In a day when we're told over and over again, do it yourself. You can handle it. You'll be all right. Just pick it up on your own. Why don't you stop? Why don't I stop and say, God, I want you to lead. And I want to be grateful for your place in my life. Paul's hope for the church at Colossae was that they would grow and that they would let Christ rule in their life. And that's my hope for you this season. Instead of going through the days ahead with saying, well, here's what we're going to do and here's what we're going to have, how about asking God, what do you want? When you have to deal with that difficult family member, those friends that you run into at a holiday season, how do you reflect Christ? How do you let Christ rule fill you? See, Christ in you is the hope of glory. But I got to tell you something. While being ruled by Christ is the heart of the Christian faith, it won't happen unless you say, God, I surrender to you today. I'm going to lay it in your feet. I want to trust you. I want to let you lead. I want to put my hand in your hand. And I want to follow you. So be reflective of Christ. Be ruled by Christ. Look at verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through them. Now, Paul now calls the church at Colossae to be a people who allow the word of Christ to dwell in their hearts. What I want you to see in this part of the passage is this. We need to be people who not only reflect Christ, but also are ruled by Christ, but ultimately are ones who rejoice in Christ. Now, when you look at this passage, I never noticed it till this week as I was studying. He says, I want you to be filled with the word of Christ. Now, you and I look at that phrase and we go, well, yeah, he's talking about the Bible. Is he? Here's what I want you to see. Paul was still writing parts of the Bible when they got this. The canon of Scripture had not been compiled. Yet, they had not started the printing presses. That didn't happen until about 1400 and something. So they didn't have a copy of the New Testament laying around. So is he talking about the Word, meaning the Bible, here? Now hang in there with me. To what Word is he referring? The big idea is not limited to printed materials. You're going, huh? The Word of Christ here is bigger than that. He is saying this: I want you to be filled with the person of Christ. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so what he's saying to these people is, yes, you need to read scriptures, but the only printed text they would have had at this point would have been Old Testament, if they had those, by the way. So what is he talking about? He's saying, I want you to be filled with the presence of Jesus. And you can accomplish that through the written page. Don't misunderstand. But it's not limited there. Notice the multifaceted avenue here. He says, I want you to be people who are teaching and people who are admonishing, people who are singing psalms and people who are singing hymns and people who are singing spiritual songs and people who are doing spiritual stuff. That's what he's talking about. There's a lot here over which to rejoice, but consider each one as we try to get a bigger understanding here. Paul's call to the church at Colossae was to be a people who taught and admonished one another and did it with wisdom. That's the presence of Christ. The thought here is centered on learning and changing so that Christ's image is reflected. It goes back to the beginning of the message. There's a need here to be people who are learning the great mysteries of the Bible, great mysteries of Christ himself. But there's also here a need to do this. It says, I'm willing, and he said, I want y'all to be willing to look at each other and admonish each other and to encourage each other and to rejoice together and to praise together and to do things together. You know, I want you to understand that Paul's understanding of Christianity was very communal. It was, we walk together and we learn together and we praise together and we rejoice together. And it includes the element of learning and correction, of course. But then there's a response that comes from the heart that says, we're going to praise God. We're going to worship him. We're going to encourage each other and we're going to be together. I love the musical connection that comes in here because he brings out three different terms of worship that need to be part of who we are. Talked about the Psalms. You know, there's about 150 of them in the Old Testament. They talked about the hymns. These were songs that focused on the praise of God. And then there were spiritual songs that talked about encouraging each other. And all of those forms were uniquely spiritual in nature. But the common thread is this: who's the focal point? Who's the focus of what we're doing and rejoicing in? What Paul wants these believers to grasp is their needs to be in their lives a concerted effort to be in the presence of God with a heart that's rejoicing. And they say, we want to praise him. We want to rejoice in him. We want to be thankful for him. And we want to put on this idea of being a person who rejoices. And this growth of thankfulness. So here's the last challenge I want you to see this morning. Fill your mind with the Word. You're saying, we need to memorize Scripture. Absolutely. But that's not all it is. We need to read the Bible. Absolutely. But that's not all it is. It's more than that. The challenge here is to be a person who says this: I'm going to reflect Christ not just on Sundays, because that's what we do, but I'm going to reflect Christ in every area of my life. And I want to rejoice in Christ. And I'm going to praise the Lord. And I'm going to let him be filling my life. And I'm going to hear words of praise coming from me, whether it's musical or if it's another form. But this Word of Christ is going to be filling my life. And the idea is to be a person who does this: I want to immerse myself so fully in Christ that there is no other way to live but to rejoice and to be grateful and to be thankful and to get through this. Now, there's a broader meaning here. He says, I want you to see the bigger than the printed. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the memorizing the Scripture. It's the singing songs. And it's even having conversations that exalt the Lord. What I want you to see, listen, is the depth of rejoicing goes beyond just words on a page. But it goes to a lifestyle. So as you go through this next week, into the next month, are you going to be dressed right? Are you going to be dressed to reflect Christ? Are you going to be dressed to rejoice in Christ? Are you going to be rejoicing in His life? What I want you to see is the depth goes beyond these written words. It goes to places of how we walk and how we read and how we sing and how we live and how we breathe and how we interact, because He's filling us. And I want to encourage you, instead of remaining sinfully self-centered, to say, God, I want You to fill me. I want You to be reflected in my life. I want You to be rejoicing, that my heart just overflows with rejoicing. And your heart will just say, here it is. Here's my challenge to you as we finish. Maybe a few minutes early today, but that's all right. Choose to be covered. Choose to be covered in thankfulness. You know, if we'll go through this next week or 2 months with a thankful heart, and we've sure got a lot to be thankful for, folks, what you'll find is you'll have an enjoyable holiday for a change. I didn't say there won't be struggle. I didn't say there won't be lack of peace at times, not at least peace in the biblical sense. You may have conflict, but you know what? If God's leading, you'll find a great week. Father God, we just thank You for allowing us to be in Your house today. Lord, we want to be people who are dressed in You. We want to have lives that reflect You. We want to have lives that show You as real. We want You to be moving in us. Lord, I pray for those in this place who maybe have a decision of something to make. Lord, I trust that You would lead them to do what they need to do. Lord, some who need to commit their lives to You, so that their hearts can be filled with Your gratefulness and thankfulness, and that they could put on these kind of things. Lord, there's others that maybe need to renew their relationship with You, others that need to commit their lives to a local congregation because they are following You. Father, our prayer is that You'd be free in this moment to do as You see fit, and that You would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name.